Tired of telling everyone what you want to do in retirement? Worried about making costly mistakes? We all make them, but in retirement, a misstep can be devastating. This episode will tackle common blunders people make and how to dodge them. Plus, we'll expose the myth of the know-it-all, that well-meaning friend or family member whose advice might be more wrong than right. Listen now and set yourself up for a smooth, secure retirement.
And now, Money Matters USA with Fred Sage.
And you also need to work with your advisor to create multiple income streams.
You're at the right place for information every week regarding all the components of a successful retirement plan.
Asset allocation is really a driving force for how much your accounts are going to grow.
Fred Sade is a financial fiduciary and retirement specialist.
I have to put the client's interest ahead of my own pocketbook at all times. I must be able to justify why I'm making the recommendations.
Money Matters USA with Fred Sade.
Fred Sade is going to warn of mistakes and debunk some myths and knock some of those out, just like we did a couple of weeks ago with some bad or questionable financial advice on social media. We'll cover more of that today, just social or bad advice you get anywhere. Money Matters USA with Fred Sade. Fred is founder and managing director of the firm Money Matters USA in the financial industry for years and as a retirement-focused advisor and fiduciary advisor at that for years. Fred holds a PhD in economics from Duke University. I won't get into details, Fred, but we were talking before we went on, started recording the podcast today about some well-known clients you've had in the past, and we'll see if we can ever do a podcast on that. I think it'll make quite an interesting one, but again, I'm not going to mention any names yet. I hadn't covered that with you, but we are going to cover mistakes here and some mistakes that you should avoid, and Fred's going to knock them down. Here's the first one, Fred, thinking you can beat the market. And I would think for pre-retirees, even maybe thinking that you would even have time to beat the market possibly.
Well, it's true. Professional traders cannot consistently beat the market. What they attempt to do is have more wins than losses. And they try to avoid a lot of trading because that just generates a lot of activity and a lot of volatility. So trying to pick positions, and you'll see that a lot of their positions don't really change. They're positions that might be owned by an entire family of funds and might be included within their fund. You can there's a study that was done by Wade Fowle, and what it shows is that if you manage effectively and efficiently, you can actually generate 40 to 50 basis points consistently year in and year out just through tax alpha, getting a return just based on managing taxes. And the remark that he made was, you know, if you can get a 40, 50 basis points return every single year positive, you know, they'll put a statue up on Wall Street named after you. Hmm. And because this is very hard for anybody to consistently beat the S&P. And that there are a lot of benchmarks that can be used, but the best known is the S&P. Beating the S&P consistently is just about impossible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we could do that, if it was easy, we'd all be rich. This is the opposite, probably, of that is if you avoid the market altogether and have all your money just in cash, how can that be dangerous?
Well, you're going to underperform because inflation is going to be an issue for you, and you have to take that into account in terms of your spending priorities. So, yeah, you've traded one risk for another risk. You've avoided volatility, but you've traded it for loss of purchasing power. And right now, we have unusual inflation after not having much for 40 years. But you're going to have other costs that you have to address in retirement because of the spending pattern that we know occurs in retirement. And running out of money could be a real risk for you because your expenses may be rising, but your pot of money is going to be fairly stagnant.
You know, I've got to find that sweet spot. That's where Fred comes in, of course. And, you know, as we mention on the show all the time, wherever you're listening, Fred can talk to you and would love to and learn a little bit about your situation, address your concerns. Who knows? It could lead to a great financial partnership. 800-593-8188 for Fred. 800-593-8188. Here's our next mistake, putting a little money in a lot of places. So can you be over-diversified?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Diversification is okay as long as it's not cutting into and reducing your return. You have to look at where your money is invested because you may be duplicating the same funds, the same family of funds, maybe within all of your holdings. So it may look like you've got 10 different holdings, but you may have the same composition within those 10 things. Now, if you're interested in having other assets, that may help you offset risk. So the way things generally work right now is pretty much most people in the 401k plans default to target date funds, and then you get a mandatory diversification because the professional investor running the target date is going to do that for you. But then when you retire, then it's voluntary. It's up to you to create that diversification. If on the other hand you don't want to diversify, that's possible. That's possible, too. It just depends on what kind of approach. Are you taking a factors approach, a sectors approach? Are you going to include commodities? Are you going to use futures, options? How are you going to do this? And are you trying to make money on the upside? Or are you trying to make money on the downside? Or are you trying to straddle this thing? What is it that you're trying to do? All these things are valid issues. So the market does more than just go up, and it doesn't go up in a straight line.
Well, this next mistake actually has some kind of a tie-in with your lifestyle in retirement, and that is if you steer too clear of your savings, and a lot of people are possibly overly cautious.
Yeah, they are. Decide. There are a lot of options, but a lot of these have to do with the state and financial planning. So do you get more out of leaving money to people or directing it to people or causes that you care about now when you're alive as opposed to when you pass on? And I'll give you an example. A couple came in recently, and they had done a very good job of accumulating assets, well, all over $3.5 million. And every year, they contributed $3 million to a school in an African country to send one child to school, that is, with books, with supplies, mm-hmm. with clothing, uniform, everything. And they said to me their goal was at death to be able to send 10 kids to school every year.
Wow.
And I said, well, you don't have to wait until you die to do that. So the wife said, well, we don't have the assets to do that right now. And I said, oh, yes, you do have the assets, and I'm going to show you how you can now do that. And so we did. And now they're sending 10 kids a year to school rather than one kid.
How did you help them that way?
Oh, very simply. We rearranged their assets to generate $30,000 of additional income.
Okay.
Right now. And net after taxes. And so they don't have any children. So the legacy that they were worried about could be done right now.
Okay.
So there will be a net residual estate, and they can contribute that, whatever it might be. But the important thing is they can see the benefit of what they're trying to accomplish while they're alive.
Absolutely. It's so much better to be able to see it. And you made that happen. So that's excellent. Our next mistake, feeling trapped by real estate. So would that be for most people, the house? And then which, if they're trapped by the house, then they're trapped to that area as well.
Yeah, they are. For some people, it's much better off to sell your house and downsize. There are a lot of trick things that you can do to buy down on the interest rate, to get support to buy down on the interest rate. There are a lot of different programs out there. You also can buy options on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange against the rise or decrease in housing values. I think a couple of weeks ago we talked about the use of options and real estate, but it can also be used here. Suppose you want to sell your house in 2 or 3 or 4 years. You don't know what it's going to be worth at that time. You can buy options on that. So you can get whatever your goal is, whatever you think it might be, and you can then make up the loss or you want the additional gain to put more money down or, you know, to have a better choice to diversify to other options within real estate. Real estate has always been a primary sector to generate wealth. And unfortunately, personal housing wealth does not count. It doesn't appear on your balance sheet and it doesn't appear on your income statement, but it doesn't mean that it can't make a good investment for you, whether you're doing it on residential basis for income or whether you want to invest in commercial real estate. This is an area that individual investors don't explore sufficiently.
You know, I went to your site to check something so I could mention it on the subject of real estate. And the site is moneymattersusa.net. And if you click podcast there, that's where you can scroll through. What is this one, Fred? 140? Mm-hmm. Episode 140. You can scroll through the other 139. Not too far down from February 23rd, the housing market. We had Joe Peters, yes, residential real estate agent, joining in on the podcast. But just to give you an example, we have a little write-up on each one. So that's just one of the many there, and that's at moneymattersusa.net. That's the name of the podcast, and there's more to come. In fact, we're all familiar with fake news or misleading stories or those well-meaning people who have all the answers to questions you haven't even asked. Well, right. The problem is much of that advice, it's just plain wrong and should be ignored. And Fred's going to highlight some of that straight ahead on Money Matters USA.
We believe in better, a better way to invest, a better way to serve you, and a better result. We can help you determine how much risk you're taking, red flags that could be potential problems for you, how much you're paying in fees or commissions, potential tax liability, or even how to address Social Security. Contact Fred Sade at Money Matters USA, 800-593-8188, 800-593-8188.
We're back with Money Matters USA and moneymattersusa.net. On the website, be sure to click the red light program tab. Learn about the red light on the dashboard program. Again, check those podcasts. And when you click the podcast tab, you'll see the drop down for Stump the Guru. If you'd like to get a question to Fred for this podcast, and if you technically stump Fred, and I say technically because it's happened, the technically part is that Fred calls, if he has to do any research to better answer your question, he calls it a stump and pays all for you. So that's Stump the Guru at moneymattersusa.net. Well, you know, it was just a couple of weeks ago, Fred talked about questionable or bad financial advice you could be hearing on social media, but certainly that's everywhere in the world. You could get questionable financial advice. We're going to cover some of this with warnings from Fred Sade. Here's something you may hear out there. Social Security is dying, so you may as well claim benefits as early as possible. What's wrong with that statement?
Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Look, if you want to claim benefits early, you can make a case as to why you might want to do that. There's a strong case for not doing that. But the point is, Social Security is too important a program to let it go out of existence. 40% of the income for some Americans, and this has been well researched, and for some it's 50% of their income. For others, it's 100% of their income comes from Social Security. There's no possible way that the program is going to become extinct. The real issue here is the program was never devised for the extended longevity that we have right now. And that's the primary challenge. The other challenge is the number of workers who support the program, and it's insufficient to continue to support the program at its current level. Now, there have been some changes, which elimination of a couple of strategies that were never intended to be there. It arbitraged Social Security. But the truth of the matter is, it has to be addressed. It would be very helpful if we had a president in the White House who really was concerned about Social Security and wanted to do something about it. Then we would need an independent commission appointed with people from both parties and a professional staff to come up with solutions for Social Security. It's going to have to happen eventually. Right now, all the solutions are to increase the retirement age, increase the amount of money that is taxed to support Social Security, to provide more benefits for lower income people than they already get, to even deprive people at a certain income level from any benefits from Social Security. So this needs to be taken seriously. Social Security is not the only program that has a trust fund. Many programs have trust funds. If nothing is done, then about 77% of benefits will be able to be paid. The Social Security statements warn that there may have to be a reduction if there's no fix. But if you're going to claim early, you have to face the fact that we have a couple of different studies now that have reached the same conclusion that people later on in life, one of their biggest regrets is having claimed early on Social Security because of the significant fall off in the amount of income that they get as longevity is extended. And that's really the force multiplier is longevity. It stresses every asset that you have, and it has to be planned for. So assuming that you're, you know, going to live 7 years and die, well, that was your grandparents' and maybe your parents' experience. It's not your experience. You're going to live 20, 30, even 40 years into retirement, and that is a problem that needs to be solved.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a good thing, but it's a challenging thing, no doubt. Fred will definitely talk to you about that, most definitely. He deals with that every day, preparing people for, and assuming it's long retirement, 800-593-8188. To reach out to Fred, 800-593-8188. Next statement, something you may hear out there, or you may have already heard it. You're safe to withdraw 4% of your savings every year. Is that a bad statement, or could it be?
You know, I've come to the conclusion that whether it's 4%, 3%, 2.8%, 5%, 6%, it's all I have drifted to the conclusion it's all irrelevant. These are fixed percentage withdrawal strategies, and I think the research, the most recent research, casts doubt on the validity of any fixed withdrawal strategy, that all strategies need to be variable withdrawal strategies. And that is where the research has taken us, because that is consistent with the way people spend money. They don't spend money on a linear basis. They spend money on a variable basis. So understanding how they spend money is vitally important. We know that when people retire, they want to spend money in the earlier years because they're healthy, they can travel, and then that money need decreases because they're more stay at home, and then there's an increase in spending, but it's not enjoyable spending because it's healthcare related spending. It may be assistance at home. It might be long-term care type spending. So it goes in a pattern, and a fixed withdrawal rate does not really address the issue. And that was fine for a period where 50% bonds, 50% stocks, and we had low growth and low inflation. And none of these situations, the whole panoply of situations and circumstances that were based on that, they don't exist any longer. So I think we, from on a research basis, the research now is to understand variable spending, because that is consistent with how people actually spend money. And that also has led to more research on Monte Carlo scenarios and the difficulties and the failures with Monte Carlo scenarios and how they are presented to clients that work with advisors.
Here's the next one, and we talk a lot about income and retirement. What about expenses? Because you may hear someone say, "Oh, your expenses will drop dramatically once you stop working." How does it really work?
Well, you may have some drop, some obvious drops, because you're not commuting to the extent that you do commute today, or to the extent that you're using the dry cleaner, or the extent that you need a certain amount of clothing. Some of those expenses drop. Lunches, coffee, office-type expenses. All right, so they disappear. But that doesn't necessarily mean that your expenses drop. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I have people who come in and very happy with spending $7,000 a month, and I have other people who want to spend $12,000 or $15,000 a month net after taxes. So we have to organize in order to be able to accomplish that. So there's no template here. It depends on the lifestyle that they want and the ability of their assets to support that lifestyle. And here's where we want to supplement Social Security, so that we have we do use annuities. Now, for some people who just won't contemplate the use of annuities, we don't argue with them. We'll try to work out another way of generating predictable income. But you have to be very flexible about your spending pattern. You have to be willing to over-harvest money in good years and put it aside so that you will have that money and don't have to destroy your portfolios in years where the market is highly volatile. Right now, the market is volatile. The Federal Reserve is very hard to understand what the chairman really has up his sleeve. He's tried to calm the markets, which he certainly has done, but we have a bifurcated economy. The manufacturing sector is in recession. The service sector is not in recession. And we have a problem with the price of energy caused by the administration's commitment to a certain agenda. So these are all considerations. So you can't just assume that your spending will be down. If 100% of your assets were invested in tax deferreds, you've got a big tax bill that has to be addressed. On the other hand, you have other expenses. You may have travel, hobby expenses, coursework. Perhaps you want to go back to school, recreational events, medical costs. There are all sorts of things. You may want to pay for a kid or grandkid's education. You might want to donate to a school or a particular charity that you're interested in. You just can't assume that your expenses are going to go down. And even if you do assume, the differential is very, very small. Let's say, for the sake of argument, you did Roth conversions at a 35% top rate, and in retirement you're at a 25% top rate. There's not much difference between those two rates when you get down to cases of what it's going to cost you to live in retirement. So I wouldn't assume. And this is where rules of thumb become real problems. Rules of thumb are very dangerous to rely on, because it just flats and makes everybody the same. This is that you're going to spend less and you're going to need less money in retirement. You may have to deal with the reality that you will have less money in retirement, and you may have to make that work for you. But that's not necessarily what your goal is going to be. Excuse me.
Well, the goal should be to get advice from someone, just like with a medical doctor. I mean, if you're getting medical advice from someone who's not a medical doctor, take it seriously, but maybe go to a doctor and make sure what you're hearing is correct. I would say the same thing in your financial life. And Fred is a fiduciary, years experienced and educated financial advisor, and focuses on the retirement world, that portion of your retirement. So it certainly would not hurt to take advantage of a comprehensive review that Fred can schedule. Again, to do that, 800-593-8188, 800-593-8188, the website, moneymattersusa.net. And that's, of course, where you can, as I mentioned earlier, stump the guru if you'd like. Click the podcast tab for that. Scroll through the other podcasts, listen on demand, and definitely the Red Light Program tab, and learn about the Red Light on the Dashboard Program. As always, thanks for staying with us on this long and educational journey with Fred Sade and Money Matters USA.
Investment advisory services offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. Fred Sade and his guests provide general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and are not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell in any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with a professional specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate, and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to the securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. By contacting Money Matters USA, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.